This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
Who cares about this stupid election? We all know it doesn't matter who gets elected president of Carver. Do you really think it's going to change anything around here? Make one single person smarter, or happier, or nicer? The only person it does matter to is the one who gets elected. The same pathetic charade happens every year, and everyone makes the same pathetic promises just so they can put it on their transcripts to get into college. So vote for me, because I don't even want to go to college, and I don't care. And as president, I won't do anything. The only promise I will make is that if elected, I will immediately dismantle the student government so that none of us will ever have to sit through one of these stupid assemblies again!
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, the show where dogs go to riot. I am your host, The Stimulator, and as the deranged fucking marathon of election season starts to gather steam in the United States, politicians from both wings of the corporate plutocracy are practicing their baby kissing, taking extra acting classes, and working on their fake fucking accents.
Hey, thank you for the bench. Don't commit suicide.
All in a vain attempt to pretend that they give a shit about regular people's real fucking problems.
Why does Apple keep making new iPhones? Now I have to get another one?
Election fever is also spreading like a herpes pandemic across Canada, where leaders of the three main political parties are currently engaged in a pre-election dick-measuring contest aimed at determining who will be crowned the next chief puppets of the country's powerful finance and extraction industries. And as usual, liberals, progressives, and fair-weather radicals are lining up behind their favorite least evil candidates, either because they genuinely enjoy having rich fucks in suits shit on their hopes and dreams, or because a common side effect of election fever is selective fucking amnesia.
You are sleeping. You do not want to believe.
But thankfully, in other parts of the world, the side effects of representative democracy are beginning to wear off. Like in Chile, where for the past 5 years, a militant student movement has rocked the country with successive waves of protests that have helped secure the Andean nations titled
as the largest exporter of riot porn footage in the Western Hemisphere.
Santiago, Chile. Political protesters riot in the streets. They target a police truck.
In November 23rd of 2013, following 2 years of sustained student protests dubbed the Chilean Winter, the country's current jefe, Michelle Bachelet,
she is my second favorite Michelle,
was elected after promising to implement the national system of universal and free post-secondary education. But rather than simply take El Presidente at her word, the nation's radical student federation, CONFESH, has steadfastly insisted that students themselves be directly involved in planning what this new education system will look like, and have kept up the pressure over the past year through a series of monthly demonstrations, which routinely draw tens of thousands of university and high school students into the streets, paralyzing the country and often leading to violent clashes con las porcas.
This is to show that we're not finished yet, that this battle is just the beginning. Despite what has happened for the past 3 years, the government has given no reply, and we're not going to rest, and we will continue fighting until we get what we want.
Atrévete, tete, ponte rebelde, despiértate, que el sistema te miente, deja de temerle, que nadie va a detenerte, levántate, ponte fuerte.
Over the past month, shit has intensified. On May 14th, over 150,000 protesters marched in Santiago, some of whom engaged the Chilean carabineros with sticks, rocks, paint bombs, and Molotov cocktails. Demonstrations were also held in Concepcion, La Serena, Antofagasta, Chillán, and Valparaíso, where two youth were shot and killed by the son of a local shopkeeper while putting up posters. 1 week later, also in Valparaíso, two protesters were seriously injured by police one of whom remains in the hospital in a medically induced coma. On the evening of May 29, over 70,000 participants flooded the streets of Santiago, determined to exact a revenge for their fallen and injured comrades.
Mainly, we are protesting against the current repression by the government. In particular, on May 21st, our comrade, Rodrigo Aviles, was brutally attacked and is in a serious condition. Obviously, this is linked to our demands as students.
In the resulting rioting, 9 pigs were injured, including one who suffered chemical burns after being hit with a bottle of acid. Numerous businesses were also attacked and looted, and a bank and corporate pharmacy were lit the fuck up. The following Monday, Chile's largest teachers union decided to enter the fray, with their members voting to go on an indefinite strike, canceling classes and linking up with their student comrades in the streets. On June 11th, the students and teachers were joined by hundreds of striking transit workers who sabotaged approximately 500 buses and shut down 4 subway stations all during morning rush hour. These acts were timed to cause maximum disruption to the start of the 2015 Copa America, the biggest annual football tournament in Latin America, which is currently being hosted in Chile. Organizers have pledged to disrupt the event, going so far as to hold soccer-themed protests outside the presidential palace, with the Carabineros playing the role of unwitting goalkeepers. Most recently, on June 15th, subway construction workers in Santiago also decided to drop their tools and throw down. On Wednesday the 17th, several of these workers used a hijacked crane to hoist their boss's car hundreds of feet above a busy downtown market. With the student protests continuing to gain momentum and radical union leaders sounding the call for a general strike, shit in Chile shows no signs of slowing down anytime soon. Next up, midterm elections in the land of tacos were marred earlier this month when militant teachers and other supporters of the 43 missing Iguala Normalista students decided to send a powerful message to the country's corrupt fucking elite. In the southern states of Chiapas, Oaxaca, and Guerrero, polling stations were blocked and ballots and voting equipment were dragged out and burned in the streets. In Tixla de Guerrero, the city where the 43 missing students' school is located, the local mayoral elections had to be canceled after all 7 ballot boxes were destroyed. After years of government corruption, neoliberal privatization, and a bloody counterinsurgency campaign being waged under the cover of a war on drugs, Mexico is currently facing a growing crisis of political legitimacy. Not only was the voter turnout for the election particularly low, but out of those who did come out to vote, just under 5% also did so to spoil their fucking ballot. As people get more sick and tired of the status fucking quo, calls for a fresh Mexican revolution are only getting louder.
We want to finally stand up for what we believe in, and we actually believe that we need another revolution, another movement, another, you know, uprising.
Nos quieren como un junkie en la esquina, un zombie de la vitrina, un longi que nos opina, conquistando tu vida, compitiendo hasta con tus compis todos los días, condicionado por su fucking ideología. Quieren más parche, pero en un cambio estructural. Quieren que marche, pero sin tocar su propiedad. Quieren que protestemos manso como Chile, y ellos cuando quisieron volver al mando mataron a miles. Quieren que llore si muere un animador de tele y que ignores el asesinato de Manuel Gutiérrez. Quieren que creas que la policía te protege cuando en verdad son el halcón vigía de burgueses. Quieren que te conformes con dos putas cambo 3 mientras senadores ganan 16 millones al mes. Quieren que les a los diarios, la TV y los noticiarios de los que son jefe y propietario ellos mismos. ¿Qué? Quieren que piense que tu voto es poderoso en verdad y voten porque en voto igual unos pocos gobiernan. La concepta y la derecha es la misma mierda, representan a la mega empresa, hermano, recuerda. Quieren seguir robando y saqueando legalmente, pero ya no hay mano, ya lo está funando nuestra gente. Y es que mientras arriba acumulan capital, abajo acumulamos rap y la fuerza que los va a aniquilar.
The roots of Chile's anarchist movement lie in the opposition to the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, who seized power in a 1973 coup d'etat that was directed and supported by those greasy motherfuckers in the CIA and the US State Department. Pinochet rewarded his gringo homies by helping to coordinate intelligence operations against guerrilla movements in Latin America through Operation Condor and by turning Chile into a laboratory for the free market ideologies of Milton Friedman.
The operation of the free market is so essential, not only to promote productive efficiency, but even more, to foster harmony and peace among the peoples of the world.
As part of this latter process, Pinochet completely privatized the education system. Under El General's authoritarian rule, political dissidents were rounded up, tortured, and disappeared by the thousands, pushing opposition underground and helping spread a practice of clandestine armed resistance. In 1988, Pinochet gave up power following a national referendum, paving the way for a transition to so-called democracy. Despite this transition, many of the same economic policies and repressive anti-terrorism laws of the Pinochet era persist to this day, and have contributed to the particularly insurrectional character of the country's anarchist movement. To learn more about what the fuck's going on in Chile, I recently caught up with two members of La Peste, an anarchist publisher and counter-info collective based in Santiago. Hey y'all, how the fuck are you?
I'm fucking bueno. I'm fucking good.
Students have been throwing down hard in Chile for a long time now. What has them so fucking pissed off?
They are pissed off because of the conditions that have been generated by neoliberalism right now in Chile. Structurally, neoliberalism is seen concretely in specific politics and matters of education, specifically within the period of 2006 and 2011, when the Organic Education Law, also known as LOCHE, was passed, which was the institutional mechanism in which the logic of the markets were protected for the distribution of professional abilities within the capitalist system. That's why the discourse of the students demand the right to education and not profit. The right to education for greater access to equalize the social good and to negate the neoliberal discourse which equates education as a consumer good.
What has the role of anarchists been in the struggle?
What we have seen now is the anarchist ideology as it pertains to the practice and not as much as a coherent project has been embraced by the groups that bind together the largest masses within the student movement and that have tried to be consistent with the anarchist discourse, which is that we want a truly free education that's controlled by the people from the bottom up, and in that sense develop a practice of constant self-education that also involves itself in a radical long-term project that aims for cultural and revolutionary transformation.
What is the relationship like between the older generation of Marxist commies and socialists and other political opponents of the Pinochet regime and the younger generation of anarchist militants?
I think that the rebel youth that came from the tradition of Marxist parties, that were asking for democracy, that was a more open Marxism and that dealt with other themes different from traditional Marxisms, rescued some of that and started mixing it with information that began to surface about anarchism, about libertarian ideas. And so what you end up with seeing is anarchists who went through progression of disillusionment with authoritarian structures, you dig? And that the youth started latching on to those practices to generate their own politics within what is now known as democracy.
What's the level of coordination between anarchists in Chile and indigenous land defenders from the Mapuche nation?
Comrades have always been worried about what happens down south. In fact, when I was a kid, the first protests I went to were in solidarity with Mapuche prisoners in hunger strike. And a solidarity bond has been generated as it pertains to points of unity, hunger strikes, going to marches, but as far as I know, hasn't gone further than that because of different visions. Because a lot of the Mapuche nationalism wants to build a nation state or a more hierarchical framework, and some comrades don't share in those ideas. But also, one can't just leave behind jailed comrades that are stuck in prison, and we have to be in solidarity with them because, like any other prisoner, they are subversives, and Mapuches are subversive prisoners.
Over the past few years, there has been a series of high profile arrests of anarchist comrades in Chile, some of which have involved some pretty fucked up terrorism charges. What is the current reality of the state repression in Chile, and how are anarchists dealing with it?
The response by anarchists today is to give visibility, to fight a media struggle, to bring to light what is the neoliberal logic. The neoliberal state can't exist without penalizing and ramping up the police state. There is no other way, because the neoliberal state generates huge inequalities and makes us into victims.
There have been diverse ways to respond to the repression, and the most visible, and because it's so spectacular, is street battles, covering your face up and going out to confront the cops face to face. That has made the cops to get armored cars, specialization in how to catch certain people, the creation of laws against assaulting police, classifying Molotov cocktails as weapons.
Thanks, y'all. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. If you think voting still matters and want to tell me why, or you simply want to know the names of the tracks we played, subscribe to our podcast or email list, or simply watch 9 years worth of this fucking show, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Also, Submedia.tv is collaborating on a new website of anarchist news called It's Going Down. To check it out, visit itsgoingdown.org. As you already figured out, our opinions and the news angles we bring are not very mainstream, and hence, this fucking show will not be seen in any major TV network, which is why we survive by small donations from slaves like you. So this week, we owe a great deal of gratitude to the following slaves for sliding us some green. So, many motherfucking thanks to Jonathan, Mortrice Records, Steve, Carlis, Alexander, Steven, Glenn, Raster, Ben, William, Raul, Sadaf, Deda, Colleen, Rose, Emily Jane, Ranko, Noemi, Robin, Garrick, Guillaume, Justin, Linda, Henry, Puget Sounds, Medic Collective, Gary, Pear, Claire, Jennifer, Benjamin, Francois, Anders, Miguel, Shannon, Christian, Kyle, Steven, and Jonathan Molotes. I also would like to welcome the newest members of the Ta Conspiracy, Jania and Justin Champurrado. And finally, as Charles Bukowski once said, the difference between a democracy and a dictatorship is that in a democracy, you vote first and take orders later. In a dictatorship, you don't have to waste your fucking time voting.
Cada sociedad tiene su organización, que no es casualidad, tiene su planificación. Y quienes dominan de arriba son los ricos, ellos te quieren dominado, cuadrado, cegado y sumiso. Y si me quieren ignorante, yo me informo. Y si me quieren obediente, yo no les compro. Y si me quieren derrotado, no hay mano. Capitalismo, el cataclismo en el que te quieren atrapado.